speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
We're discussing on our program today, as we did a continuation from yesterday, who is the born-again Christian? We realize there are questions that arise in people's minds and that they want answers to those questions. And there is much attention being given, as we've noted, to the claim about a new spiritual birth. And oftentimes the spiritual birth to many people seems to be that they mean the Holy Spirit comes after they're saved and goes into their lives without any difficulty whatsoever in making their miraculous thoughts and giving them something beyond what others have who become Christians. Well, a Christian is one, of course, who is in Christ. And Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creature because he's been born again. And if he has been born again, then of course he is a Christian. If one has been born again of water and the Spirit, that's what it means to become a Christian. And you know all Christians have been born again. There's not a Christian who hasn't. And all who have been born again are Christians. Now, if we learn from the Bible how and when a man gets into Christ, then we will know exactly what constitutes the new birth that Jesus spoke to Nicodemus about in John 3. He said, Nicodemus, except a man be born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, Nicodemus, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, we have shown how that becoming a Christian is the same as being born again. And so if we can learn from the Bible how and when one gets into Christ, we'll know when he becomes a Christian, and we'll know when he is born again. And then we will cut the confusion, of course, that many have tried to make about the new birth. They are one and the same thing, to be born again, to become a Christian, to enter the church, or to enter into Christ. Well, we were studying yesterday as we closed our thoughts on how to get into Christ or be born again. And we suggested that there were five steps or stages that man must go through in order to be born again. You know, the new birth is not an instantaneous occurrence. First of all, the seed has to be planted. And then, of course, 9 months has to pass before a natural birth takes place. The begetting is the planting of the seed. But the new birth is the bringing forth of new life into the world. So the new birth is a process also. One step logically follows another, as it does in the natural birth. So, my friends, the first step that we learned in being born again or anew was hearing. We learned that people have to hear the gospel because they cannot believe in one in whom they have not heard. Until one hears about the Lord and knows of the great blessings in Christ, how can he then hear to believe or know to believe without hearing? Faith, Paul said in Romans 10:17, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the likewise, the Corinthians are said to have been begotten by the word as it was preached by Paul. You remember 1 Corinthians 4:15? He said, I have begotten you through the gospel. Well, it is the Spirit that begetteth. Yes, but the Spirit is the one that gives life. The words, Jesus said, that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. John 6 and verse 63. So the believer is begotten or born of God, begotten by the Word of God, born of the Spirit through the Word, all meaning the same thing. We also learn that once one hears and believes, that he must repent. Repentance, of course, is a change of will toward God. It is preceded by godly sorrow, 2 Corinthians 7:10. Godly sorrow worketh repentance, Paul said, and it follows in a reformation of life. Not only does godly sorrow lead to repentance, but the goodness of God leadeth us to repentance, Romans 2:4. What man has ever thought about how good God has been to him upon this earth without feeling his stubborn will bending to repent and turn from his sins and serve God as he knows he should, who is his Creator? Jesus told his hearers that if they did not repent, they would perish. Luke 13, verse 3 and 5. So we see the three first steps are stages of obedience to be born again. And it must be the planting of the seed, it must be the repentance upon our part, and confession of the name of Christ, of course, follows that. So the repentance is a resolution to turn from that which is evil, to die to the love and practice of sin, and to begin to do that which is good. Faith and repentance lead logically then to one other step, and that is confession. Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven." Matthew 10 and verse 32. Now the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 10:10, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Many today who claim to be born again have not done this. They have not confessed with their mouth Jesus as Lord. For the example of this, in Acts 8, verse 36 through 38, we find Philip teaching the eunuch. And they came to a certain water, and the eunuch, having learned what he must do in order to be saved, said, "Behold, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." We are not to confess that "I believe God for Christ's sakes already pardoned my sins," but we are to confess that "I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Let me stop just a moment, my friends, and ask you a kind question. What did you confess when you were saved? Or did you confess it all? Did someone teach you that you could be saved at the point of faith without repentance, without confession? Well, they taught you wrong if they did that, because the Bible says, "With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." This is then another step, or stage, in being born again. Now, the fifth and final step in becoming a new creature in Christ is baptism. And Jesus mentions it here, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Well, to be born of water is to be baptized. Paul affirms that one dead in sin, then in the likeness of the Lord's burial and resurrection, is buried in the watery grave of baptism and then arises therefrom to walk in newness of life, Romans 6 and verse 3 and 4. Listen to him as he states, "Or are you ignorant, brethren? That as many of you as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised through the glory of the Father, so also we should be raised," are you listening now? "That so also we should be raised to walk in newness of life." Now, new life comes after being born. And here we find what born again is. It is baptism. To be born of water is to be baptized. The act of immersion in water for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38, shows that sins have not been remitted at the point of faith. They have not been remitted at the point of repentance. They've not been remitted at the point of confession. But the act of immersion in water, Acts 2:38, brings the remission of sins. This is, of course, stated and confirmed in many other places. But this is commanded by the Holy Spirit, and it puts the believing penitent into Christ. Now, twice, my friends, the Bible says a person is baptized into Christ. And it does not say we believe into Christ, nor repent into Christ, nor confess into Christ, but we are baptized into Christ. Are you ready for those two passages? Romans 6:3 that we just quoted says that we are baptized into Christ. And then the second passage is Galatians 3:27. He says there that we are baptized into Christ. Now one may be begotten, or it may have the seed planted, and still not be born, or delivered. But if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He is born again. So born of water, or baptism, is a part of the new birth, isn't it? It is the completion of that new birth. It is the bringing forth from that birth into life. Baptism completes the spiritual birth. And no one is a born-again Christian unless he's been baptized into Christ. A person does not walk in newness of life until he has been baptized. I believe those thoughts we have proven today. But now, to summarize, the new birth is simply the process of becoming a Christian, isn't it? The steps involved are hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Spirit teaches. And after Christ had died on the cross, shedding His blood for the forgiveness of our sins, and prior to His ascension back to the Father, He charged His disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Then He added, in Mark 16:15 and 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." 10 days afterward, on the day of Pentecost, after the ascension of our Lord, on that day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, speaking through Peter, commanded those who had heard Peter's sermon and had believed and had asked what to do in order to be saved, to repent and be baptized, he said, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2 and verse 38. Then they that gladly received his word, says verse 41, were baptized. And the Lord added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now those people who were saved at that day experienced the new birth. They became born again. But they were also Christians. They obeyed the gospel, didn't they? They entered into the kingdom. And this is how it was done then. This is how it is done today. Now, it's not a mere emotional experience, my friends, and we need to see that. Because many are teaching just exactly that. It is an emotional experience to be born again. It's not obedience to the gospel. Well, in view of the plain teaching of the Scriptures, we can readily see that a spiritual rebirth is not some emotional experience. That which is better felt than it is told, or, as some say, accepting Christ as your personal Savior, just saying the sinner's prayer. No, these by faith only will not work. Then later joining the church of your choice. No, the new birth, my friends, is not by faith only, apart from obedience to the gospel. Saving faith is not some intellectual, sentimental assent to the truth that Christ is God's Son. Feelings, of course, are very deceptive, and feelings cannot be accepted as a substitute for obedience to the Lord's commands for salvation. Moreover, joining a church, as some talk about, is not synonymous with being born again. Did you know that? In spite of the fact that the struggle for numbers by many churches has placed the names of thousands of people on church rolls in America within recent years, many of whom have never been born again. They have never obeyed the gospel. They have never entered into Christ. In reality, such people are not in the Lord's church then. And Christ's statement to Nicodemus, except a man be born again of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God, puts the new birth between the sinner and the kingdom of God. In other words, Jesus said, except a person is immersed in water, after believing in his heart that Jesus is the Son of God, and sincerely repents of his sins and confesses with his mouth that Christ is the divine Son of God, he cannot be saved or become a Christian. Hence, my friends, we can appreciate the spiritual awakening that is produced by media attention to noted political figures and entertainment celebrities who now claim to have been born again. There is no doubt that they have some respect, reformed their lives, and improved their example for moral living. But unless they've complied with the clear teaching of Christ that claims that the rebirth is as a result of the seed sown in their hearts, this doctrinal error of salvation by faith only is not taught in the Bible. The New Testament church has fought so long against those who would teach error about this subject. And still we must contend and help those who want to see the light of the gospel to see clearly those things that God has prepared for us.